American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Wednesday, November 30th, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, the wall global sitrep for core political tyranny, technology, and trends for your headspace and timing. Rand Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening to this program, you are too. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. And right now, you can get to my live journal by going to Sean, S-E-A-N underscore Kennedy, K-E-N-N-E-D-Y, like the dead guy, dot livejournal.com. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Osprey Radio.info, Extreme Radio Tampa, and SRN1. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way that you see fit, which means you can hand it out to people you don't know, give it away at church meetings, go to the flea market, slip it into people's shopping bags, leave it on discs, drop it off at your local big box computer retailer, that kind of a thing. By all means, distribute it any way you see fit so that we can reach more and more people to get out the idea that thinking for yourself is okay. So, let's talk about some feedback. Dear Sean, I just heard Tuesday's Reel. Had it, you know, abbreviated down to Reel. And I missed last week by eating turkey and not working. I'm a Christian living in Puerto Rico. It's a U.S. territory. Yes, I'm Canadian, so I actually know a little bit about geography, but it's only a little bit. And I lived there for 2 years on food stamps and government housing to get me through, help me get through my studies. Hardcore. Once finished, I quit both. I know that people living on food stamps would apply for a job requesting a position beyond their capacity and then hand in their rejected applications to retain their food stamp privileges. Also, with each child, you qualify for additional amounts of money until the child reaches a certain age. We call them hamsters. Get pregnant, government covers you, and feeds you. It sucks, and I know some people who really need the help but don't qualify and who are waiting on waiting lists while others are sucking the government for all it's worth. I don't have a solution, but I think if you begin to cut back on how much is being spent, some people will actually get up and do something about their life. Now, I would wonder how you could say something like that. My goodness, you know, isn't it our responsibility to look after everyone in the free world? Isn't it totally our responsibility? Even these people who are just cranking out kids in order to exploit the system? I mean, clearly that's an educational issue. Clearly that's not their fault, because nothing is anybody's fault anymore. Have you noticed that? How nothing is anybody's fault. There's absolutely no accountability for anybody. Now, these people who are down there, these hamsters, as Buddy has called them, who are doing this, I mean, that's bullshit. That shouldn't be allowed. And I can guarantee there are other people doing exactly the same thing in every culture around the world. It's not limited to Puerto Rico. This is the mindset of the leech. These are people not willing to do anything to work. They're just willing to, you know, sort of sit back and suck from the system. This is a horrible concept. Doesn't work and should be abolished. And I would totally agree with this guy that, yeah, there are people who do need help. You betcha. There are people out there who do need help, and if they're willing to work for it, you know, if they're willing to, you know, work hard to try to get off it, to make themselves a better person, whatever, I'm all about that. I think it's a really good idea. Now we get into some child rights and wrongs news. Now, this is an interesting story here. Check this out here. Copies of the high school student newspaper, this is of a high school student newspaper, were seized by administrators because the edition contained stories about birth control and tattoos, stirring First Amendment debate. Interesting. Administrators at Oak Ridge High School went into teachers' classrooms, desks, and mailboxes to retrieve all 1,800 copies of the newspaper Thursday, said teacher Wanda Grooms, who advises the staff, and Brittany Thomas, the student editor. The Oak Leaf's birth control article listed success rates for different methods of said contraceptives were available from doctors at the local health department. Superintendent Tom Bailey said the article needed to be edited so it would be acceptable for the entire school. I see. Oh, okay. So, you know, we wouldn't want to teach kids about birth control, because that's a really bad idea. And that might actually encourage them to have sex, because God knows kids follow what they read inside their school newspaper. Whatever you print there is the word of law. The edition also contained a photo of an unidentified student's tattoo. So we don't know who the student was, but we have an unidentified student's tattoo. And the student had not told her parents about the tattoo. Dun, 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 dun. The superintendent said the superintendent, Tom Bailey. Well, you know, since it's an unidentified student, I'm wondering how the student, the superintendent, Tom Bailey, knew that the student hadn't told the parents. But I digress. I guess they must, he must have found out from the editor who the student was, so on and so forth. I have a problem with the idea of putting something in the paper that makes us part of hiding something from the parents. Which I wonder about that, because if you're putting something in the paper and publicizing that, how is that hiding something from the parents? Clearly, they're not hiding it from the parents. They are showing the world. And clearly, the student wants to show off the tattoo and just has no idea how to tell the parents. This could be one way of doing it. The paper can be reprinted if the changes are made, he said. We have a responsibility to the public to do the right thing. This is, you know, this is typical of superintendents of schools. They get all puffy chest and they think they're more important than they really are. We've got 14-year-olds that read that newspaper. Jesus Christ, 14-year-olds? That's when they're not busy downloading porn, you mean. Thomas said she wasn't sure about making changes. I'm not completely okay with reprinting the paper, she said. First Amendment experts were critical of the seizure. Well, she better be okay with the reprinting of the paper, because if she's not, the school superintendent's going to fire her ass. This is a terrible lesson in civics, University of Tennessee, the University of Tennessee journalism professor Dwight Teeter said. The University of Tennessee's journalism prof is making a comment on this high school newspaper. This is an issue about the administration wanting to have control. Imagine that. Something about newspapers. This is perfect. Either the students are going to have a voice, or you're going to have a PR rag for the administration. Dun, 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 over this high school newspaper. This is the best part about high school, you know? It's because stuff like this really does show the students how shit works in the real world. They came out with an article that was controversial, so what happens? The administration comes in, shuts down the paper, threatens to fire people who are going to be, you know, trying to put it on the air, and they'll seize everything. And we're talking about children here. I mean, on one hand, we got the freedom of speech, but don't these people have the right to kind of regulate what goes on in their school? I mean, after all, it is a school. They're trying to be responsible with these kids aged 14 to, what, 17? They're dumb as dog shit talking about stuff that will affect the rest of their lives. They're talking about, you know, pregnancy and things like that. Now, birth control, I think, is totally fine, because I would sooner see a kid on birth control get laid than a kid without birth control get laid and fuck their entire life up, because that is exactly what it will do. The tattoo, well, you know, depending on what you get tattooed, kids getting tattoos of swastikas, not so cool. Not so cool, you know, that'll definitely fuck with your prospects as you get older. But, you know, so what, the kid gets a little bit of ink. But what's more important to this is that kids see just how little power they have. How little power they actually have. In my own high school experiences, you bet. I had a presidential candidacy taken away from me because I wasn't the right kind of student. Perfect. Best lesson I could have had in high school. Probably one of the most, you know, teaching things I had in my entire senior year of high school, where I learned that it's got, like, democracy, realistically, is actually a myth. Democracy doesn't actually exist. You're completely enslaved by public opinion. And whoever manipulates public opinion, i.e. media, is the people who are actually in control. So who manipulates the media? Well, the people who advertise, which means corporations, which means money. So once again, he who has the gold makes the rules. Hence, the golden rule. So although, yes, oh, it's a terrible violation of the First Amendment rights, but as we are all slowly waking up to realize, the Constitution of the United States is worth even less than the Geneva Convention, because no one is willing to fight for what it stands for. No one is willing to stand up and fight, because we've become a completely weak nation. Nobody's willing to stand. Yeah, I mean, could you imagine in the 50s this shit trying to happen? Oh my God. This shit would be out of control. Imagine your grandparents or great-grandparents having to deal with these kind of draconian laws coming into play. What do you think would be happening? Well, there'd be people getting shot. That's what would be happening. But no, we don't have that in our society, because we're wussified. You better believe it. We're the biggest bunch of sissies America has ever seen. I mean, Jesus Christ, nobody even wants to stand up and be accountable for anything. Nothing's anybody's fault. No. It's all the fault of, I don't know, we'll find something. Give me a minute. Give me a minute. We'll just keep that buck circulating. That's the economics of blame. Fuck, it makes me nuts. Now, for those of us who want to be accountable for our own mental health and well-being, let's talk about some melatonin. This shit came out in about 1995. I remember seeing a Time magazine article about melatonin talking about stopping the aging clock, and then boom, that got shut down. Nobody talked about it anymore. Well, it seems that it's back up in the news in booster news. The role of melatonin for the treatment of cancer is looking compelling, according to a new study published in the Journal of Pineal Research. Every time I think of pineal glands, I always think of that movie From Beyond by H.P. Lovecraft, where the pineal gland came out of Buddy's forehead and was like circling around like a slug's eyeball. Anyway, researchers say the results are so compelling that the cancer funding agency should be eager to support clinical trials to evaluate its therapeutic role in a variety of cancers. So apparently, melatonin shit kicks cancer as well. Melatonin is a hormone naturally found in humans. In an association with cancer, it has been shown in many studies assessing links between shift work and cancer rates, showing a consistent relationship. Oh my goodness, who knew that shift work and cancer rates have a consistent relationship? Who knew that? Did you know that? Did you know keeping odd hours and fucking with your biological clock makes you more susceptible to cancer? Isn't that interesting? The association between melatonin levels and cancer progression has suggested to some that melatonin may be a modifier of cancer progression. In this latest study, researchers examined all clinical trials assessing the role of melatonin as a therapy for solid tumor cancers. They used a methodology called meta-analysis, a technique of analyzing multiple studies. Authors reviewed 10 randomized clinical trials that included a total of 643 cancer patients with a variety of different solid tumor cancers. The types of cancers involved included lung, brain, skin, renal, which is always fun, and breast cancer. In this analysis, the effects appeared to be consistent across studies. So it seems to me that melatonin is something that might be, you know, viable for all of us wogs out there who want to know what's going on with our bodies to look at. Now, however, though, we are talking about a brain hormone here, so I don't recommend a bunch of 17-year-olds go out and start taking melatonin because it's a bad idea. Incidentally, you take it before you go to bed. I have just recently started taking that HGH stuff, that human growth hormone stuff. You know, you take 6 pills before you go to bed at night. I got to tell you, it's working wonders for me, man. I can fly. Well, not really, but, you know, I still feel better. So it's pretty handy shit. Melatonin, you're supposed to take melatonin before you go to bed, too. Of course, I'm archaic. I'm ancient. I'm 32. So that means that, you know, I've only probably got about another 25 minutes left in my lifespan before, you know, my life meter on my hand starts blinking and I have to go renew. But for those of us out there who are in their 30s, you may want to stay looking at melatonin because according to the research I've done, apparently melatonin is pretty handy to get into in your 30s. If you're below the age of 30, not so much. Stay the fuck away from it. But you should be doing research into stuff so that you can be prepared for it, so you can plan out your health regime as you get older. An ounce of prevention beats a pound of cure, or, well, a pound of armor beats an ounce of lead, however you want to look at that. Anyway, in brain case news. Now, this is an interesting. I always love these stories that compare your brain to computers, which is kind of a bad thing to do because apparently then eventually you wind up thinking of upgrading yourself, and God knows what that could lead to. But anyway, even if you could get more RAM for your brain, the extra storage probably wouldn't make it easier for you to find where you left your car keys. God, I love it when reporters start these articles with a witty little anachronism like that. Don't you just love that shit? God, makes me want to go crazy with a flamethrower. What may help, according to the discovery published on November 24th in the Journal of Nature, is a better bouncer, as in the type of bouncer who manages crowd control for nightclubs. The study by Edward Vogel, assistant professor of cognitive neuroscience at the University of Oregon, is the first to demonstrate that awareness, or visual working memory, depends on your ability to filter out irrelevant information. Now, this is where it gets interesting, because your visual working memory depends on your ability to filter out irrelevant information. Now, this is one of those things that people in advertising are really, really keen, because they don't want you to be able to filter out information. They want to be able to project information directly into your fucking brain, because that's what advertising does. Until now, he says, it's been assumed that people with a high capacity of visual working memory had a greater storage, but actually, it's about the bouncer. A neural mechanism that controls what information gets into awareness. Ah. The findings turn upside down the popular concept that a person's memory capability, which is strongly related to intelligence, is solely dependent on the amount of information you could cram into your head at one time. These results have broad implications and may lead to developing more effective ways to optimize memory, as well as to improve diagnosis and treatment of cognitive deficits associated with attention deficit disorder and schizophrenia. Now, anyone who's ever, you know, had themselves a really serious marijuana problem will realize that their lifestyle completely changes because they can't remember anything for more than 3 seconds at a time. You wind up being kind of like a goldfish, depending on how much you smoke. You're like, you know, swimming around your little jar going, oh, shit, a castle. Look, a castle. Holy fuck, where'd that castle come from? You know, that's intentionally their life, and they continue like that ad nauseum in a loop. And this is you know, not so good. So, you know, one of the greatest ways you can actually increase your long-term memory, and I got this out of a men's health website, which was sent to me, didn't really qualify for a daily hack, is to actually read before you go to bed, which a lot of people go, oh, whenever I read, I get really tired. Okay, whoa. If you get tired when you read, that means there's something wrong with your brain. Okay, if it causes your brain that much fatigue to read, you should be concerned by that. Drink some water. Do what you gotta do, but make sure you read before you go to bed. And read something worthwhile before you go to bed, for Christ's sakes. Read some biographies of people you admire or something. Don't read my books, whatever you do. Jesus Christ, I mean, it's total tripe. But, you know, I mean, if you gotta start on something that's just one step above, you know, see Dick and Jane run, yeah, you might want to pick up a copy of Bloodstained Rabbit or maybe, you know, Scadwings Abaddon, and you'll be able to, you know, give yourself some type of deep-rooted sociopathic disorder after you read the books. But, you know, I probably wouldn't want to read them before you go to bed because I guarantee you will have fucked up dreams. But I would recommend doing things like reading biographies of people you admire. I mean, that's a good thing to do. And then as you sleep, according to this Men's Health article, it has a tendency the last thing you read kind of sucks deeper into your mind, things like that. You know, it's good stuff. Anyway, it goes on to say here, the study used a new technique for measuring brainwaves developed by Vogel and previously reported in Nature April 2004, which allows researchers to record the effects as objects pop into the minds of their subjects on a moment-to-moment-by-moment basis, i.e., oh, look, a castle. Working with two of his graduate students, Andrew McCullough and Maro Mekazawa, Vogel recorded brain activity as people performed computer tasks, asking them to remember arrays of colored squares or rectangles. You know, I wonder why they always do that with these incredibly simple shapes. Why don't they get them to remember, like, I don't know, different kinds of tanks or something? In one experiment, researchers told subjects to hold in mind two red rectangles and ignore the two blue ones. Without exception, high-capacity individuals excelled at dismissing the blue, but the low-capacity individuals held all of the rectangles in mind. People differed systematically and dramatically in their ability to keep irrelevant items out of awareness, Vogel said. This doesn't mean people with low capacity are cognitively impaired. There may be advantages to having a lot of seemingly irrelevant information coming to mind. Just ask anyone who plays Trivial Pursuit. Being a bit scatterbrained tends to be a trait of highly imaginative people. Now, I am, in fact, fairly scatterbrained, and I would classify myself as being fairly imaginative. You know, I have a tendency to cook up these crazy ideas that people seem to enjoy. But if we can get ourselves to be a little bit more focused, great book called The Power of Focus, which talks about that. You might want to check it out. I mean, we're so concerned with everything to do with our physical outside of our body. No one's concerned about the mental whatsoever. It makes me crazy. I can't understand why people aren't more concerned with their minds. You know, your mind is really what it's all about. The gray matter goes, you're fucked. You know, and like the song says from Deltron, upgrade the gray matter because one day it may matter. Now, speaking of upgrades, which is a pretty weak segue, but whatever, I'll take it. In armored news, now, right now in North America, there's a big push in armored that we're going to be like, oh, no, we're trying to get rid of the tanks. We don't like tanks. We want to go with wheeled vehicles because they're better for some fucking reason. Defense contractors are trying to tell you that, you know. I don't believe that at all. Like, okay, I'll take, you know, fast and light. They're pretty good. Good for recce, all the rest of it. But you need to have proper armor. And there's apparently a bit of a thing called the flying tank, okay, which has surprised the defense minister of Russia. Now, this whole story here is out of Pravda, which is pretty interesting. Now, the tank doesn't actually fly. Don't get excited. But listen to this story. In the capacity of a newly appointed vice prime minister, Russian defense minister Sergei Ivanov is not going to supervise individual security agencies and branches of the armed forces. He is not going to set up any additional organizations either. He intends to coordinate functions of the military-industrial complex as a whole. He says, I do realize a full extent of responsibility I'm going to take upon myself, but the jobs has to be done anyway, said Mr. Ivanov. As regards As regards support of the military-industrial complex, the vice prime minister is going to set a personal example. On Tuesday this week, he tested a tank literally from inside a test on a testing ground in Nihizing Tangjil. So this guy actually got inside a tank and was driving around. Mr. Ivanov pointed out that the no new structures would be formed for his new position in the government. I may be appointed head of a military-industrial commission of the government, he said. Sources in the government believe that Mr. Ivanov will be a link in the executive chain of command with regard to two agencies responsible for state defense orders. The agencies in question are the Federal Service of Defense Orders, headed by Andrei Benilov, former head of the state-run Rosenbossen Export. Blah, 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 blah. Now, this is very interesting here. He goes on talking about, you know, the tank, or he talks about his roles here, but then he talks about when he actually was dealing with the tank. Mr. Ivanov spent a few hours on the testing ground of Nizhny Tagil Institute of Materials Testing. He was shown around the facility and briefed on the specs of the basic Russian Army tanks, i.e. the T-70, T-80, and T-90. A short demonstration of equipment capabilities, maneuvering across an obstacle course, shooting exercises, was not enough for the Vice Prime Minister. Soon he climbed into a T-90, which is the new high-speed tank, to take part of another round of demonstration exercises. The tank crossed an AT ditch, rolled over a hill, and moved through the post-obstacle belt. The tank's crew did not perform the T-90 trademark stunt, though the defense minister was on board, and the crew did not put the engine into high gear and take a late leap off the springboard. The 46-ton tank has been dubbed the flying tank by foreign military experts. My knowledge of this tank is largely theoretical. Today, I took the opportunity of getting to know it better during the test run. It is very important to me, since the defense ministry will purchase 31 tanks of this type. As regards the number of tanks to be purchased, some may find it ridiculous, but I tell you, we have never purchased such a quantity of new tanks during all those years since the collapse of the Soviet Union. So, he's buying himself 31 more tanks. Isn't that interesting? Why is he buying 31 tanks? Is that because he wants to, when you got to think to yourself, 31 tanks, Sean, give me a break. The reserves could take out 31 of these tanks. Yes, yes, they could. But you got to understand that clearly he's trying to strengthen up Russia again. And they're not strengthening it up with... They could be spending that money on, you know, wheeled vehicles. But they're not spending it on wheeled vehicles. They're spending it on tanks. 45-ton craft. Which, let me tell you, a tank... I mean, I've been on the ground when tanks have charged, okay? I'm here to tell you, and there's very few things that actually compare to the power of armor. The only thing they can't do is hold ground. But motherfucker, can they take it? That's why people spend so much money on how to kill tanks. Now, for anyone who's wondering why I'm making that statement, they're like, Sean, you're full of shit, blah, 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 I would like to take this time to recommend a book for every informed WOG to acquire. Now, books, I don't recommend books myself unless I have read them. You know, I try not to. There's a couple of books I come across where I'd like The Power of Focus I've read. Pretty good book. Not really, you know, it's good for certain people who want to get it. But this one here, I think, is one of those necessary WOG library books. This is one that will definitely show you what it is to be, to have a good, solid understanding of the kind of things that WOGs should know about. I don't want to get too specific. And it doesn't read like stereo instructions, okay? It's a meaty read. It's a long read. It'll take you a little while to get through it, depending on what your reading rate is. But it's a good read. It's not boring or dry. It actually keeps your attention really good. It's probably about the same sort of pace as if you could read something like Black Hawk Down or Bravo 2-0. You'd be able to get through this one, and it's all true. It's a story of a guy by the name of Chesty Puller. Lewis, quote-unquote, Chesty Puller. Chesty's not his real name. That was his nickname. But the book is called Marine, The Life of Chesty Puller. ISBN number 0-553-27182-2. Okay, so that's... I guarantee that if you pick that book up and give it a read, no matter who you are, no matter where you're from, it will definitely give you a really solid concept and a bit of history as to what, the kind of training we should be thinking about in regards to war. And the direction that our current country is heading is really, really bad. Not only are they all warlike and stuff like that, which, you know, is neither here nor there right now, their method of conducting warfare is wrong. It's completely bad and is not going with actually applied doctrine. And this book is an older book now. Okay, it's not a brand new book. Okay, you want to, you know, get a hold of this thing, give it a read. Because I'm here to tell you, you might be surprised with the information you find in there. It might... kind of twist you around a little bit as to what you think is actually going on with the military and what you think of, you know, what the military policy used to be. Very, very, very interesting read. One of the greatest books I've read, actually. So that said, let's move on to some guerrilla radio news. And I'm not talking about Rage Against the Machine, but maybe it might be a good idea if the people in Nepal actually did that. Police in Nepal have closed a radio station, shut down the radio station, arrested 5 staff members for trying to rebroadcast a BBC interview with a Maoist rebel leader. So they didn't even record it. They're just trying to RRB that stuff, radio rebroadcast that, of this Maoist rebel leader. So the BBC interviews them. No, you're not allowed to hear that. In the interview, Prachanda says the rebels may consider their opposition to the monarchy of the king hold an... In the interview, Prachanda says the rebels may reconsider their opposition to the monarchy if the king holds free elections for the constituent assembly. So it's like, we won't, destroy the king and try to take him out or his stupid hat, if he lets us have free elections and vote out the hat. Radio Sagarmatha. Well, that's catchy. It just rolls off the tongue. Radio Sagarmatha was about to broadcast when the station in the capital of Kathmandu was raided on Sunday. 5 staff members were arrested for what police called an act of terrorism. You're broadcasting a BBC article. That's terrorism. And of course nobody gives a fuck about this because there's nothing happening in Nepal that anybody cares about. They have no resources. So who gives a shit? The BBC's Navin Singh Kandaka in Kathmandu says the BBC's news websites were inaccessible in Nepal for a period, but are now available, no doubt sanitized all to hell. King Gayendra seized power in February, saying that the government had not done enough to counter the Maoist insurgency. Not only did he seize the power, baby, you should check out the hat. Radio Sagarmatha's acting manager, Garmarji Lundell, Christ, if ever America, North America, takes over the Far East, the number one thing we're going to do away with is some of these fucking names. Who the hell wants to write Gahamarji Luintel on their goddamn forms? Imagine having to scribble that out as your handle every day. Gahamarji, I hereby decree you Hank. Way to go. You are now officially Hank. Said government officials who carried out a raid, he had left a letter instructing the station not to resume broadcasting. And some people may say that I'm being, a cultural bigot with that, but I'm really sure that Gamarji Luttel does not like his name. It's clearly. I don't know if he'd like that. But, of course, he's all into free speech. He's the radio manager. Or, of course, he's the acting radio manager. So maybe, I don't know. We'll have to see. It's hard to tell. Because, how much news are we getting out of this region of the world? We don't know what's happening. Maybe those 5 guys are dead now. He said a case would now be filed in court against the government action. Oh, filed in court, eh? Well, that'll make a lot of difference. Give that about 5 years, maybe it'll go somewhere. The communication ministry said the broadcast had been stopped because the radio station was found to be airing what the government believed to be a banned item. Well, there's something to look at, eh? No airing of banned items. The BBC, those known terrorist organizations. Now, let me get this straight. Hang on. Isn't the BBC actually one of the guys who are supposedly the good guys? Isn't Britain one of the good guys? In Britain they got a decent crown. You got to give them that. The crowns look pretty good. This guy's crown he's got here looks like a lampshade. But generally, the Brits are good guys, right? So if a Brit trans, if a British transmission, a broadcast, is a terrorist item, doesn't that mean that the Nepal's government is listing themselves amongst the enemies of Britain? So therefore, by their own proclamation, they've called themselves the T-word. That's right. They've identified themselves with the terrorists because clearly, Britain's broadcasts are illegal. Way off on the side here. I think that in the interest of stopping terrorism, we should go in there and, sort out this guy's hat. Just my own personal viewpoint. I could be wrong here. I just have a problem with people with bad hats. My kit fetish. In an apparent reference to the interview with Prachanda, the government said the action was initiated to maintain law and order and contain the spread of what is called fear and terrorism. So, that's the BBC is spreading fear and terrorism. course, the International Federation of Jurists condemned journalists. The International Federation of Journalists condemned the raid. But that's all they can do is condemn the raid. And I highly advise you to go click on that link and take a look at this guy's hat. Because I'm here to tell you that, I mean, oh my God. If ever there was a reason to invade a country, it's this man's hat. And it makes more sense than the some of the other reasons we've invaded countries. In border news! Now, this is an interesting story here. In border news, the Australian government is currently building a Guantanamo-style detention facility, which is great, you know. It's like Guantanamo becomes this really, you know, scary word. It's a prison. They're building a prison. A $210 million, 800-bed immigration reception and processing center. It's like Guantanamo Bay! The same way, like, Folsom Prison is like Guantanamo Bay. It's a prison. Okay. On Christmas Island, 1,400 kilometers off Australia's northwest coast. The project has residents concerned about the prospect of having imprisoned detainees and possible terrorism suspects as neighbors. Well, you know, I mean, they're imprisoned detainees and possible terrorism suspects, you know. They're 1,400 kilometers off Australia's northwest coast, so, you know, only there's a couple people in danger versus the entire Australian continent. Australia's pretty xenophobic. They don't like people who just show up on their borders. Matter of fact, you know, Canada gets these refugee ships, and they show up, and we're like, oh, okay, come on in. You know, you sailed over here. Way to go, you know. We all take them in and stuff. But Australians got a slightly different viewpoint on that shit. If once they pick them up on radar, they dispatch the SAS, usually, and they go out there, and they radio the ship to turn around. If the ship doesn't turn around, they drop the SAS on the deck there, and they take over the ship, and they make the ship turn around. And if they can't make the ship turn around, they scuttle the ship. They'll actually sink the motherfucker and let everybody on board drown because they list them as invaders. And I don't really have a problem with that, to be really honest with you. I mean, that's the way they're going to run their country. That's it. I think Australia has the right to run the country the way they want, and we'll let Darwinian law determine where they find their place in the world. Christmas Islanders fear the remote detention facility will be Australia's very own Guantanamo Bay. The island's Shire president, Gordon Thompson, says residents are also worried about the effects the controversial detention center development will have on the island's tourism industry. What the hell? I don't know why they're worried about tourism and stuff. It's not like they're going to, you know, be making brochures about this thing. And it's only like, what is it, probably a couple of acres? We're not building tourism based on a prison tour. What the hell kind of a statement is that? It's not taking away anything. He said he also voicing fears that residents would be barred from areas on the northwest point of the island. Another resident complained that access to the popular fishing and snorkeling points on the island would be limited. Newsflash for you. It's an island. Therefore, there's nothing but fishing and snorkeling spots around because you're, well, an island. So is Australia, for that matter. Department of Immigration, the DIMIA, said that when construction of Christmas Island facility was finished, a review was likely to be taken to close some mainland detention centers such as Baxter in South Australia. Its Christmas Island only use is an immigration reception and processing center, said DIMIA spokesperson. Mr. Thompson, who opposed the imprisonment of refugees, said the center was being built on an island in an effort to avoid public scrutiny from mainland Australians. It's a long way from the mainland, where the lawyers and troublemakers are. We'll be kept away from it. Well, from a government standpoint, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you don't want people, you know, messing with your prison and stuff. And also, you know, if you really do have dangerous people there, let's assume that, you know, worst case scenario, you lose control of your prison. Well, they're not going to get anywhere because, well, they're, you know, you got pretty good response time. You know, they're 1,400 kilometers off the coast, you know. A resident of 8 years, two as Shire president, Mr. Thompson said he did not trust the federal government because it ignored the concerns of the 1,500-strong community. 1,500 strong! Oh, my gosh. So there's basically, like, nobody living there. There's a sense of Commonwealth will do what it wants. Well, of course the Commonwealth's going to do what it wants. You've got to be a little suspicious of a government that lets its own people be held in Guantanamo Bay, like David Hicks. People here have the feeling that when something big is being built away from the media, it's not fishy, it's smelly. What a wonderful use of the English language. Mr. Thompson said the Shire Council were notified when the current Christmas Island Detention Center reopened last week to detain seven West Timorese asylum seekers. Azmi Yan, president of the island's Malay Association, has lived for 37 years on the island and wants the federal government to leave it alone. He said locals were confused and did not know what the center would be, did not know if the new center would be used for refugees or as a Guantanamo-style prison. Well, what the fuck do you care? It's got walls up. It's not like these people are roaming free on the island. They need to put them somewhere. And it's probably better there. It makes tactical sense. I don't really understand what the issue is here. We need something from them in black and white. Just say what it is. Tell us something and don't keep us in the dark. Why? Why? Why do they have to tell you? Do they make you have to tell them everything that goes on at your house? I, you know, if it's a prison, they could lie to you and you could, you know, I mean, this is just bullshit. I can't really understand what their problem is with this. They're like, it's going to destroy our island. Oh, my God. Life is heinous. No, man. Makes sense to build a prison there. Whatever. Mr. Yan said the island was home to a harmonious group of Chinese, Malayans, and Europeans who respected each other's cultures. Well, fucking hoorah! How does this prison affect that? Why disturb an isolated and unique environment when you can build the center somewhere else? He's not disturbing shit. It's not like he's going to let, you know, all these people who are prisoners wander around your island. They're all going into a detention center. It's a big building. Think of an IKEA without any windows, only with slice wire and dogs and people with guns and stuff. Same sort of idea. I can't figure it out. You know, it's like people will just freak the fuck out about anything. And speaking of freaking the fuck out, in busted scumbag news, Republican Randy Duke Cunningham tearfully resigned Monday after pleading guilty to bribery and admitting he took $2.4 million to steer defense contracts to conspirators using his leadership position on a congressional subcommittee. Oh, my God. Such things happen? The Republican congressman and Vietnam War hero choked up as he announced his resignation outside a federal court. Until entering his pleas, he had insisted he had done nothing wrong. So he's a fucking liar who got caught with his dick in the ringer, and now he's crying, please don't kill me, Americans. I'm sorry. I appeal to your better nature to not stand me up and fucking shoot me, which is clearly what should be done. The truth is I broke the law. I concealed my conduct, disgraced my office. I'm a bad man, he said. I know that I will forfeit my freedom, my reputation, my worldly possessions, and most importantly, the trust of my friends and family. Oh, God. Well, shoot yourself then. Authorities said Cunningham secured defense contracts worth tens of millions of dollars for people who bribed him. Now, he's guilty as charged. The guy's fucked, okay? But let's not think that he's the only one, okay? Yeah, the guy's guilty as fuck. And we need to, you know, find the other guys who are guilty, too. So don't just, you know, take him outside, put him on his knees, and blow his head off and think your work's done for the day. If you were to take everybody outside who took a bribe, I guarantee the barrels would be melting before the sun went down. The case grew from an investigation of the sale of his home in wealthy Del Mar to a wide-ranging conspiracy involving payments in cash, vacations, and antiques from unidentified conspirators. Now, why are they unidentified? Why are they unidentified? This guy's already come out. He's confessed. I'm a bad person. Oh, Jesus. Well, if you're really sad, sing like a fucking jaybird and make amendments, and we'll nail all these bastards to the floor. Before resigning, Cunningham, who's 63, entered pleas in U.S. District Court to charges of conspiracy to commit bribery, mail fraud, and wire fraud, and tax evasion for underreporting his income in 2004. These don't really sound like really heinous crimes. I guess it's probably, you know, tax evasion is a pretty big one. Cunningham, an 8-term congressman, answered yes, Your Honor, when he was asked by U.S. District Judge Larry Buns if he'd accepted bribes in exchange for his performance in official duties. He did the worst thing an elected official can do. He enriched himself through his position and violated the trust who put him there, U.S. Attorney Carol Lamb said in a prepared statement. After the hearing, Cunningham was fingerprinted, then released to his own recognizance until February 27th for sentencing hearings. He could receive a maximum sentence of 10 years in prison. Not fucking likely. Cunningham agreed to forfeit the government his Ranchero Santa Fe home, more than $1.8 million in cash and antiques and rugs. So, you know. Now, the thing that gets me here is they're going to be like, ah, we got them. Well, that's great. You got one of them. Now, the guy did do his time in Vietnam. Okay? Did some shit in Nam. He's been in government for a while. I guess, you know, he's strayed from the path a little bit, so he's come clean. Now, at this stage of the game, how far is he coming clean? If he comes clean, sings a fuck of a song, goes out there and actually has remorse and regret and everything, then maybe we should let him live. You know. But if he doesn't, and it, all this is just, you know, something to, you know, parade in front of the papers to try to decrease his sentence, well, you know. But before we get really savage with this guy, and all the Democrats and everybody all stands up and they all want to start hucking the rocks at him, you got to bear in mind that there's a lot more people taking bribes than just this guy. Yeah, without a doubt, what he did was wrong. Without a doubt, not even a question here. But if you think he's the only guy doing that shit, well, you need to give your head a shake, buddy, because I'm here to tell you, that's pretty standard fare for the government. Now, in hazing news, this is an interesting story here because this is a really wild trend, and I've seen this firsthand. A criminal investigation is being carried out into bullying. That's what they're calling it, bullying. It's not bullying, it's hazing, but anyway. In the Royal Navy, after new recruits were filmed apparently being subjected to violent bullying as part of an initiation ceremony. This is called hazing. A video has emerged seemingly showing a newly qualified member of the Navy's Royal Marines beaten unconscious by someone who's said to be one of the man's senior officers. Does that mean he's an NCO? Does that mean he's an officer? I'd bank he's a non-commissioned officer. I doubt he's an officer. But anyway, the alleged assault was filmed by a fellow Marine of 42 Commando Unit who claimed in an interview with the News of the World that the initiation rituals involved a sadistic use of violence were commonplace, which they are. He said that in case the wounds inflicted were, he said that in this case the wounds were inflicted were so severe as to be life-threatening. Ministry of Defense announced that the Military Police's Special Investigations Board would be carrying out the investigation into the alleged abuse, said to have taken place at the barracks at Bickley near Plymouth in May of this year. It is thought at this stage of the investigators, who have known of the video's existence for more than a week, are treating it as genuine. An MOD spokeswoman unable to confirm yesterday whether the alleged perpetrator had been suspended or whether he was continuing to work with the newly qualified Marines in the barracks. The Minister of Defense denies that bullying and harassment are widespread in the armed forces. However, the investigation will bring the spotlight once more into the effectiveness of their supposedly zero-tolerant policies, the extent of which incidents of violence continue to be promoted within the forces. Now, there's two sides to this coin. On one side, you got to bear in mind, this is a commando unit. 42 Commando is the name of the unit. So, the people who are in this unit are not really florists, you know? These are not people who you would find, you know, working with Girl Scouts and stuff. Generally, these guys' job is to slot people, to kill people, close with and destroy the enemy. Now, back in the day, as far back as the Templars, there's all sorts of weird, fucked up initiation rites these guys would have to do, like treading on the cross and all this kind of stuff, to try to harden themselves for the horrors of war. I mean, you got to be sweeping through an area of Africa and you're finding kids on poles and people with no heads. I mean, it's going to fuck with your brain a little bit. So the whole concept of doing this kind of stuff was to try to facilitate some kind of bizarre esprit de corps through the esprit of mutual suffering, and thereby have some sense of camaraderie that you have endured this and now you are all together. But over the years, this has become this very fucked up thing that the Brits do now, and there's actually cases of guys actually shitting on a piece of bread and everybody all takes a shit bite out of this shit sandwich, quite literally. They pass it around until somebody's done, and then they'll go get a hooker, and everybody in the whole platoon fucks the hooker. This happens in armies all over the world. I have never done this. I've heard of it being done. I've seen videos of it being done. I would put to that and say, okay, well, that's the moral fiber of our military right there. I mean, if that's what's happening within your combat arms units, you know, then what's the problem here? The problem is not that the men are bad. The problem here is a lack of leadership. Is a lack of leadership and a lack of discipline. That's all that is. An undisciplined army is nothing more than a mob. And if you get a bunch of undisciplined mob together, give them automatic weapons, steroids, and a place where they can have their own private little club, shit like this is going to happen. So what's the solution here? Well, the solution here is to bring back some really good, strong discipline in your forces. You know, I mean, soldiers are supposed to be one of the most, like in ancient Japan, okay, the samurais were badass mofos. No one would say that a samurai was not a badass mofo. But, you know, they had discipline. They had crazy, crazy discipline. And when you look at, you know, the current army, you got these guys who are going to be going out, you know, and walking through villages of dead people. Dude, you're going to need that kind of discipline to be, you know, exercised. And I guess it's not a failing of the forces. It's a failing of the officers and a failing of leadership. Now, in show of force news, this is an interesting story. Miami police announced Monday they will stage random shows of force at hotels, bank, and other public places to keep terrorists guessing that remind people to be vigilant. Keep terrorists guessing. And to remind people to be vigilant. Nothing like a guy running around with an MP5 to remind you to be vigilant. If I see a guy with a ski mask running around with an assault weapon, you can fucking bet I'm going to be reminded to be vigilant. And probably my first response will be, holy fuck! Police Department, pardon me, Deputy Police Chief Frank Fernandez. That's a good name. Much better than another name. Frank Fernandez. Good name. Said officers might, for example, surround a bank building, check IDs of everyone going in or out, or hand about leaflets about terror threats. Now, I want photos of that. If somebody could get me a photo of a guy in full SWAT gear with the face mask, helmet, whole nine yards, handing out leaflets like a Jehovah's Witness, that would be hot. This is an in-your-face type of strategy. No shit. And it's letting the terrorists know that we are out here. Okay. The operation will keep terrorists off guard, Fernandez says. He said Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups plot attacks by putting places under surveillance and watching for flaws and patterns of security. That's interesting. Police Chief John Timoney said there was no specific credible threat or imminent attack in Miami. But he said the city has repeatedly been mentioned in intelligence reports as a potential target. Timoney also noted that 14 of the 19 hijackers who took part in the September 11th attacks lived in South Florida at various times, and in other alleged terror cells have operated in the area. Well, you know, rather than jacking the banks and scaring the shit out of the populace and getting everybody used to the idea of a police state, maybe you should just go and round up the guys you suspect to be terrorists and find out what's going on with them rather than fucking with everyday people. Both uniformed and plainclothes police will ride buses and trains while others conduct longer-term surveillance operations. People are definitely going to notice it, Fernandez says. We want shock. We want that awe. But at the same time, we don't want people to feel their rights are being threatened. No, no, absolutely not. Guy with a SWAT team outfit on asked me for my paperwork. I won't feel threatened at all. Fuck no. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that if I turned and ran, I'd probably be shot. We need them to be our eyes and ears. We're your friends in black with ski masks. Mary Ann Viveret, president of International Association of Chiefs and Police, said the Miami programming is similar to those used for years during the holiday season to deter criminals at busy places such as shopping malls. You want to make your presence known, and this is a great way to do it, said Viveret, police chief in Gaithersburg, MD. We want people to feel they can go about their normal course of business, but we want them to be aware. Now, this is great, you know. Just on a footnote here, what if we decide, on the off chance now, let's look at the two factors here. We have a choice here. We can either go along with the lie that 9/11 was in fact a terrorist attack, which it was not. We all know it wasn't a terrorist attack. We all know it was America burning its own Reichstag. There's way too much evidence going on here that there's something to be the official story. So without it saying that, you know, America was in on it, the official story is not legit. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows the official story is not legit. It can't be. But let's consider the two options. One, we pursue the concept that, you know, 9/11, the towers were bombed and all that kind of stuff. And we blow that open. We expose it to the world. We expose that America is utterly corrupt at its highest levels. And the president was responsible for doing this. What does that mean? Well, there's a really good chance that the country would shatter. And I mean a really good chance. I mean, people would be like, holy fuck, they would utterly lose faith in America. Without a doubt. Like, not even a question. And what does that do? Well, that destroys your nation. Not so good. Now, option B. We all know it was bullshit. We all know it was wrong. We all know that the terrorist attacks weren't really legit. Or at the very least, there's something wrong there. So what if we go and say, okay, well, you know, I don't know why they did that. That was really stupid. You know, they want to get the political will up. So now we're involved with this shit. What if we decide, okay, fine. We're going to go with the militant society. Let's have the SWAT team go to the schools, pick up kids in school buses, take them to the kill room. Give them all MP5s, have them run around, shoot each other. It'll be great. It's ammunition for everybody. Woo! Be like just like that scene from Starship Troopers. You know, start them young. Teach them how to use MP5s. Get them on board. You know? Well, there's that option. And what are we going to wind up with that? Well, you got to look at what our adversaries are doing. What's China doing? Oh, they're doing similar shit, aren't they? Yeah, they are. So, you know, before we decide what direction we're going to go, whether or not you want to decide whether or not you want to destroy America, because I guarantee you, if the quote-unquote truth came out about the 9/11 crisis and all the rest of it, and that was exposed to the entire world, well, I'm here to tell you, I think America would probably fall apart. And even people who, you know, even the most staunch conspiracy advocates would have to go with you and say, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if anybody could believe in anything anymore after that. The media would be completely destroyed. Yes, there is a responsibility to get to the truth, but I don't know how much people can take. I mean, we're already at, our psyches are at a breaking point right now, and it'd be a little bit frightening. It's an interesting thought. Speaking of being at the breaking point, today's Daily Hack is CIA torture techniques, something you should be aware of. Now, they're not actually called torture techniques. They're like sleep deprivation and stuff like that. Same kind of stuff that they do in the Army and all that kind of jazz. Very interesting stuff to be seen what you can be done for interrogation purposes. How to break your will, all that kind of jazz. Make sure you check that out. Very interesting stuff. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the news you need to stay alive. This has been a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of 65 people, 11 one-time donators, 52 continuing subscribers, 2 new subscribers, for a total of 65 people who believe that what I say is worth a damn. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit randmedia.ca and click on the donate tab, because I need money. And thanks again to everyone and their assistance in gathering data. And if you have access to sensitive information or any of the pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at randradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by Darkest of the Hillside Thickets. Wrong. You're going to pick up the album by Collide, Some Kind of Dying. Oh, sorry, Some Kind of Strange. Haha, bit of a gothic joke there. So, Collide, Some Kind of Strange. And I'm going to leave you now with a track by Mindless Self-Indulgence called Diabolical. So until tomorrow, that is what servers said. End of line.